Welcome to Ghost to Ghost. We've got another hour to go for you here. Isn't it strange, though? Halloween is on a Sunday. That's weird. Everybody I have talked to says it's strange that Halloween's on a Sunday, that it should be made a permanent holiday on a Friday night or a Saturday night. What do you think about that? Think about that. Anyways, we're going to come back with the rest of your Ghost to Ghost calls in a moment on Coast to Coast AM.
This is J.C. Webster saying, how dare you celebrate Halloween? It's the devil's birthday. Are you going to sing him happy birthday, dear devil? How dare you?
Unbelievable. J.C. is still around, isn't he? We were just talking about that a couple weeks ago. Well, welcome to Ghost, and let's go right back to the calls. Let's go to Joe in Treasure Valley, Idaho. Welcome to the program. Hi, Joe.
Hi.
How are you?
Well, and yourself?
Everything's great. I look forward to these special nights all the time.
It is kind of fun. I moved into this old house in 1935, and my son was here, and he said, Mom, something's here. And I said, I know it. And I said, what did you experience? He said, I'm just telling you there's something here. And I thought, well, he was about 17, and I thought, well, we'll get back to that later. Anyway, I was in bed, and several times this happened, and my bed would start bouncing. And I thought, there is a little kid or something bouncing on my bed. And I just didn't, believe it. Went back to sleep. At any rate, one night I got up to go to the lavatory, got to the end of the bed, walked through this little person. It was about, 3-4 foot tall and kind of brown, opaque. Walked through it, and I said, oh, excuse me. Kept going, went to the bathroom. When I got to the lavatory, I thought, oh, my goodness, what just happened? My eyeballs were open. My brain was engaged. Wasn't much longer than that. Elder came over and he said, you know, you do have a spirit here. And I said, I know. He told me how to let him go home. And I did that. And he went home.
It stopped, huh?
Yeah. But there's a portal there now where people come and go home from. I don't know if the little man opened it up or if the Native American elder opened it, but people come over here to go home safe. It's kind of interesting.
Did a part of you, Joe, miss this entity once you told him to go home?
No. He didn't. He was a happy little soul. But he just didn't bother me. But he didn't belong here either. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, he was out of place, wasn't he?
He needed to go home.
Well, and you let him go home, to be sure. Thank you. Next up, let's go to our wild card line. Carlos is with us in Malta, Montana. Welcome to the show. Hello, Carlos.
Hey, George. How are you doing today?
Okay, great. Hope you are, too.
I'm doing awesome. Thank you so much. It's definitely an honor.
By the way, isn't it strange having Halloween on Sunday?
It is, actually. I don't even recall as a kid ever even having Halloween on a Sunday.
No, I don't either. I'm sure we had it on a Sunday, but it's weird. And then next year, it'll be what, Tuesday, something like that?
Something like that, yes.
Weird. Anyways, what do you got for us?
So I've actually just moved up here about almost a year ago, as a matter of fact, at the end of November, and I actually have my younger brother living with me. He came up here with me about a month later. So this house that I moved into, there was nothing for rent here, so I had to buy a house up here. And, fast forward a few months, just about 2 months ago, I actually had a female friend who had just broken up with her boyfriend, and basically, I said, hey, you know what? If you want, you can crash here at my house with your kids while you get all your stuff and then go back where you have to go with either your mom's or whatever the case was. So she came over after she took off a few days later. And mind you, my house, to get into my house, you have to kind of go up these stairs. And then there's a screen door that separates the outside from the interior door. So as I'm walking her to her car, I start getting like this really bad feeling like in my gut. you know, like we always do sometimes when something's wrong.
Yep, you can feel it.
And so I walk her out, right? And I start getting this feeling again as I'm walking her to her car. I go in my house, not thinking nothing of it, right? So I sit down. I have a chair that faces towards the door. And as I sit there, after a few minutes, I'm like, you know, something's off, but didn't think nothing of it. So my brother, who I thought was came home, his door for some his key doesn't open the actual bottom latch, which makes no sense because he can open up the top latch but not the bottom. So as I see this door open, I'm thinking it's him because I hear the latch on the door trying to open. So I'm like, okay, he can't get in. Let me walk up to the door and let him in. But as I get up, I actually thought for some reason in my mind, seeing my friend trying to open the door. So I'm thinking in my head, maybe she forgot something, right? And as I go over to open the door starts closing. The outside door starts closing. So I'm like, oh, maybe my brother didn't see me that I actually got up to open the door. And mind you, he has this walk that looks kind of like the Michael Myers shuffle. You know, that's how he walks. And I'm like, dude, you have the Michael Myers walk. And he walks literally just as fast as he does, right? So he has to walk down the stairs. And then as you walk towards the driveway, you can actually make a quick left to get to the front garage door, which it's kind of weird up here how they have that. But, you know, I figured I can probably see him before he walks to the garage door to get into the house. So I go down the stairs. And I look around, I peek around the little corner there, and I don't see him. So I'm like, oh, this guy beat me to the house. So I go back in the house, and as I'm walking into the house again, I'm like, hey, bro, where you at? No answer. I'm like, what the heck is going on? I still have this gut feeling in my stomach. So I'm looking to the garage to see if maybe he went to the laundry room. Nothing there. So I had to call my friend up. I'm like, hey, by the way, I want to know. It's going to sound strange, I said, but did you have something follow you here? And she's like, what do you mean? I was like, yeah, I just had this feeling as I was walking you to your car and I was sitting here and I basically broke down everything I just told you right now, George. And her mom happened to actually be in town with her to help her pick the rest of her stuff up at her ex-boyfriend's house. Her mom noticed something was off with her too. And as I'm telling her the story, her mom's asking like, hey, what's different about you? Like something is wrong with you.
Jeez.
You know, and then her mom proceeded to, I guess, ask me like, hey, what did you see? Because she must have heard me like kind of talking to her about it. And that tripped me out because I was like, how the heck does the mom know like what's going on? And I told her like, hey, this is what I saw. And the first thing that she said is like, was it gray, white, or black that you saw? Like the image of what you saw. And I'm like, look, I don't know exactly what I saw, but this is what I told her. I said, look, this is what happened. And I could have sworn it was your daughter at one point when I got up to open the door. So long story short, she ended up coming over to the house. Smudging my house. I'm not sure if you know what smudging is.
Yeah. With sage, so, right?
Yes, correct. I didn't know that's what it was called at the time, but just like a week prior to that, which is kind of trippy, my friend from down in Billings, Montana, she had actually told me like, hey, I had to smudge my house. This is what happened. So that's how I just found out about it prior to this happening to me. So she comes over, smudges the house, and then she right before we were going to do the windows with oils, something told her like, hey, tell Carlos to bless this house in his native tongue, which my native tongue, of course, is Spanish. And so I proceeded to that. We get to the garage of the house, right? The same place where I thought I saw my brother might have gone into. And I kid you not, George, had I not stopped this for myself and seen this for myself, I wouldn't have believed it, right? So we get to the garage, and she's telling me that you're going to see this thing appear to you, but I want you to open the door to the garage that goes to the front of the house. So you're going to see this thing. And the moment that she blew out this last portion of where we thought the entity was, this entity, I don't know what it was. I cannot describe to you exactly what it was, but this entity appeared and it left my house.
And it's been gone ever since?
And it's been gone since. We had to put salt around the house. I still have my windows blessed and
wow.
I don't take any of that off, but it was like one of the most, had I not seen this for myself, I would have never believed it in a million years.
I love it. That's a great story. Carlos, thanks. So I'm here in the cave in St. Louis. Tom's back in Los Angeles and the calls go to LA and then he puts them on hold and then I'm connected to his screen. So what I see is the person's name, the city and the state. And I have the ability to answer the calls electronically, which is incredible technology. Tom's got up on the board right now. Wildcard line, surprise. I have no idea what this is, so let's go to it. Hello there.
How dare you, George? Do you know who this is?
J.C. Webster III. I just heard your little promo announcement.
How dare you? And I had to call immediately. And, George, it's an emergency situation.
What's the matter?
They've got Halloween on Sunday, the Lord's Day. Halloween, as you know, is the devil's birthday, George.
Well, I got to believe that this time I agree with you. Halloween on a Sunday should be a no-no. I finally agree with you on something, JC.
Well, it's not far enough, George. Halloween has to be outlawed completely. It is a criminal holiday. You love it, of course.
Of course.
It teaches the younglings to go and extort people. It's a threat. When they come to your door and they say, trick or treat, they're threatening you for goods and services. If you don't give them over what they want, they could soak your windows, break your kneecaps, or burn your house down. It doesn't matter. They're criminal thugs. Why do you think the cities have been burning in America? It's because of Halloween, George. We train these children to extort criminally.
Do you give out anything for Halloween at all?
Absolutely not. Do not give out anything on Halloween at all except a good verbal warning that you're going to burn in hell, you little terrorist.
Oh, my God.
Extorting old man. You're worse than that, just stealing $10,000 from me.
Did you ever find her, by the way?
No, but we're close, George. We're very, very close, and I have a feeling that you know of her whereabouts. I believe here's the theory that's going around the compound. Cornelius is hiding her. That's who's got her.
I don't think it's him, but she has emailed us. I will tell you that.
It could be him. I don't trust that fella.
All right. JC, enjoy yourself and check in with us on Christmas. I hope you'll be happier. Tom, texting Queets, you really set me up on that one, kid.
He's so funny sometimes. Hey, but
where's he been?
Just working. He said he's working a lot.
He's,
so we just haven't heard from him.
Quite a guy.
Break your kneecaps for candy.
We called them little terrorists.
Hey, speaking of candy, that candy bar you're talking about is a Sky Bar.
That's it. That's it.
People have been calling like crazy, so they remember when you talked about that. So this one from Janet in South Carolina. Does Halloween make it easier to contact relatives that are deceased?
I don't think Halloween does, but if you have a good medium, you can probably contact the dead anytime you want. But I don't think Halloween does specifically. I've looked at Halloween as a fun time for kids to go out and dress up and, you know, do their thing. And
have you ever been wanted to be contacted by someone, but you can't or they haven't?
No, not yet. Did you ever see the movie It's Alive?
I did not.
In that movie, there is a very scary-looking baby. I have the replica of that baby. I want you to go online and look at the baby. You'll see what I'm talking about.
How do you have a replica of it?
It's like a little puppet, but it's it's weird. So I took it out today for a little bit before the show.
Yeah.
And people were running away from me. They were that scared.
Is it uglier than Kennedy?
Kennedy's not a bad-looking little doll.
He scares people.
Where is he?
He's buried in a drawer in my office.
You've got this little mannequin dummy in a drawer?
It's one of those ventriloquist dummies that you put on your knee that somebody sent in.
If you open it up, it's going to come jump at you.
Never know.
Back to the calls we go. Let us go to James in Virginia. Welcome to the show. Hi, James.
Hey, George, and how are you tonight?
Great. Good to have you with us.
Oh, it's one of my favorite nights of the year, especially listening to Ghost to Ghost.
I love this season. Right into October, November, Christmas, New Year's, it's the best, isn't it?
Yes, it is, especially in preparation for Thanksgiving and Christmas.
Yep, absolutely. And we'll be live for you on the awesome. Christmas and all that stuff.
Well, my story began in 1960. I was 5 years old. We lived 30 miles north of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. My dad was a producer of radio shows. Well, back then when people listened to old-timey radio.
Oh, cool.
We had lived in a trailer park with two trailers back then. That's where most people lived. It was right after the war.
Yep.
Well, one night my dad had a dream. And a friend of his who had passed away 6 months before of a heart attack came to him in his dream and said he needs to buy his house. So Dad located the house, and it was only a small house. He later had built additions to it for the whole family. But he had bought the house, and the first night we were in there, my parents were out moving furniture with my two older brothers. I was 5 years old. My sister was 10. She was there alone with me. And we had our little baby brother, about a little over a year old. The house was an L-shaped house. The front door opened into the middle of a hallway. And when you walk into the hallway, to the right, at the end of the hallway, was a bedroom. And to the left and around a corner was the living room. It was about 9 o'clock at night. My sister and I were sitting on the couch, just hanging out, waiting for mom and dad and my brothers to come back with another load of items from the trailer park to move in. And the baby began to cry for his bottle. Well, being two kids, my sister said to me, give him his bottle. I argued, I said, I'm not doing it. You could do it. And we started bickering. And then the front door opens and it closes. And we said, Mom, Dad, no answer. High heel clickings going down to the bedroom. The door opens. The baby's crying got louder. And then the baby began to get quiet, and he started sucking on his bottle.
Oh, boy.
High heel clickings coming out of the bedroom. The door closes, comes down the hallway, up to the couch, and nobody was there.
Jeez.
I jumped in my sister's arms. Oh. I was crying, burying my head in her shoulder. She was burying hers in mine. My parents come home about 20 minutes later, and they walk in, mom's in tennis shoes and blue jeans, and they wanted to know why we were crying. And we told them what happened. My dad said we were lying. And my mom said, well, I don't think the kids would just make up a story like that.
No, not if you were that emotional, too.
Oh, my gosh, no. Well, later we found out that the previous owner was into Satanism and witchcraft.
Oh, geez.
And later on through the years, the personality, my dad changed from a happy man into an alcoholic and abuser.
Wow.
It's like the house and him became one. And Dad called the house the halfway house between this world and the next.
That entity got to your father somehow.
Many entities, not just one.
Once you finally got out of there, was it okay?
No. No, it continued. When I was 18, and I'm not going to get into it right now, but I became a Christian.
But it followed you?
No, actually, all hell broke loose. Light cannot coexist with darkness, and it turned my life upside down in a good way. I opened my eyes to what really was in that house.
How about your dad? Did he change?
No. Later on, in 1985, my dad came down with cancer.
Oh, gosh. That's a horrible ending to that story, to be sure. James, thank you. Ghost to Ghost continues. On our next Coast to Coast program, Lisa Garr will be with you talking about magic and witchcraft. And then on Sunday, Halloween night, Connie Willis will be here with some UFO stories. And she's got Don Most with us. Don played Ralph in Happy Days, and he'll be talking about some fascinating hauntings that he has encountered. So make sure you're part of the program. We're going to come back with more final Ghost to Ghost calls.
Trick or treat. Happy Halloween, everyone, from Rosemary Ellen Guiley.
I miss her, the late Rosemary Ellen Guiley. She gave us that several years ago, but lives on forever, doesn't it? Anyways, our final segment with Ghost to Ghost. I hope you've been enjoying yourself, but we still have more calls to go. Let's go to Peter in Vermont. Welcome to the show. Peter, thanks for holding.
Likewise, thanks for putting me on the air. I really appreciate this opportunity to let you know how I experienced my situation with the ghost. And listening to all the other stories, George, is very interesting, especially that story with the hospital in Texas.
Oh, my gosh. Cool. Yeah, absolutely. What do you have for us, Peter?
Okay, well, I used to live in a townhouse situation. There's probably about four townhouses put together. So they have pretty thin walls in terms of noise. could go from one unit to the other. At any rate, it was late in the morning, or early at night, or early in the morning, late at night, rather, apologize. And I was probably listening to Coast to Coast. And I was just, you know, doing my thing.
Sure.
And the next thing I noticed was somebody, what appeared to be somebody or something, walking upstairs. And when I, you know, turned my eyes to you know, first I saw it out of my peripheral vision. When I looked up the stairs, it looked like an old, kind of like an old grandmother walking up the stairs kind of slowly. Didn't seem offensive, didn't seem, you know, scary or anything like that to me. Probably because I've listened to a lot of Coast to Coast. I calmed down a little bit.
She might have, yeah.
And so that was strange, right? I had never really experienced a ghost before in my life, and I was very convinced that that's exactly what it was, but I had no idea what the correlation was. The only time I'd ever seen anything similar to that was when my grandmother passed, rest in peace, and I kind of experienced her spirit kind of vacating the apartment house. So prior to that, I'd never experienced anything of a ghost situation. So suffice to say, the next morning or a few days later, I spoke with my neighbor. And I had asked her because I had been renting this townhouse for about 3 or 4 years at that time. And I didn't contact the, you know, my landlords, but I did speak with my neighbor who's lived in this complex. It was probably built in the mid-'80s. And so this was around 2013 or so. So mm-hmm. complex has been around for 30 years or so. And I spoke with her and I asked her if my landlords, my tenants, or if my landlords rather had purchased the house from someone who had passed away. And so she said no, and she asked why. And I said, well, you know, the other night I experienced what I am convinced was a ghost of an old woman, an older woman, walking up the stairs. And she looked at me as if she had seen a ghost. She told me that she had purchased her townhouse from an older woman who had passed away. And so she was completely flipped out and freaked out.
Might have been the same lady, huh?
What's that?
Well, it might have been the same old woman.
There's no question that's what we thought. And so with the walls being so thin, right, with noise and sounds going through the walls pretty easily, like, you know, she would hear me listening to Bob Marley, and she's like, you know, you got to turn that down. Those guys are too loud. So, you know, we figured that the apparition slipped through the walls. So in the subsequent days, I decided that it would behoove me, behoove her, you know, the ghost, if that was what was going on, to see if I could help suggest and encourage her to transition and move on in the most loving, in the most positive, you know, beneficent manner that I could. And I think I managed to accomplish that. Never experienced her or anything like that in the townhouse ever again. And so that was my hope, that I was able to accomplish that, you know, that goal, which was to help her transition. Because, you know, we've read and heard over and over that sometimes that these are people who don't have the direction.
They don't know how to cross over.
Not totally, you know, convinced that they're able to do it. Maybe they're scared. Those kinds of things.
Sounds like you helped her out, Peter. Good job, to be sure. Let's go to Christopher in Cedar Rapids, Iowa. Hi, Christopher.
Hello, George. It's been another whole year since I've been on the show.
He went by that fast, huh?
Oh, it certainly has.
Well, welcome.
So, tonight I want to retell a story regarding Chrysalis, the succubus that has been possessing my body for several years now, ever since I was in high school. So, when I was in high school, I was about a senior at the time. I was going out with this really sweet girl. I won't name names for sake of privacy.
Sure.
One day, it was about around maybe November, and I went over to her house to, you know, watch some movies, you know, spend time with her. And when I was there, I kind of had like a very strange little sensation going on. And well, we went downstairs where she had her TV set up so we can watch some scary movies. And then there was some point where I had blacked out. And at that point, I'm almost certain that that's when Chrysalis took over. And according to my girlfriend, what she said to me, Chrysalis walked to one of the corners of the basement and started talking.
Like you're in your sleep or something.
Yes, like if I was like talking to someone, but I had no recollection of what was supposedly said, like actual word for word. And then about an hour had passed, and I came back. So like I was like at a deep sleep. And Chrysalis told me when we got home later that she had spoke to someone within that basement, and that person was dressed in a U.S. Army uniform.
Huh.
She said that that spirit told her that she wanted, that he wanted to convey a message to my girlfriend's family, saying how much pain he was in, how he was sorry for leaving. And then sometime later, after me and my girlfriend had broken up, Chrysalis told me that I have to look up my girlfriend's name online. And I did. And I saw a small obituary of her father.
Oh, my gosh.
And it turns out her father was a soldier, and a few years after he came home, he had committed suicide.
Oh, but that's the one who came back.
Evidently so. But I never had the courage to tell my girlfriend's family the message that her dad's spirit gave to Chrysalis.
To this day, you have not told them?
No, I haven't spoken to her. I lost contact with her.
Well, and it's not easy to say, look, I think your father's trying to contact me, because, you know, the first impression is they're going to go, what are you trying to do to us? But that's a great story, Christopher. Great story indeed. Let's go to Alan in Ontario and Canada. Welcome to the show. Hi, Alan.
Hi, how are you, George? And before I tell you my story, you had a guest on couple of years ago, Fiona Horn, who's a witch. And
the witch.
She wanted me to say hello.
The good witch.
She wanted to say hello to you and Tom. So
great.
So, we've kept in touch. So my story, I'm going to take you back to the year 2000. I was living in Oakville, Ontario with my family. And the story starts, I was in my hot tub one evening, and I used to keep the kitchen sliding door open, because my two dogs would come in and out of the house. So I'm sitting in the hot tub, I watch this 2-foot orb come down the side of the house and went in through the kitchen sliding door. And I thought that was a little weird, but, you know, didn't think much more about it. And then shortly thereafter, the whole paranormal activity started in our house, and I'll describe a little bit because I think it's provide some context. So you go upstairs, master bedroom was on the left-hand side. You'd walk down the hall, around the corner there was a guest room. And then my daughter's room was at the very end of the hallway, and my son was on the left-hand side. So they would sleep at night. My son would keep his door closed, and she would, my daughter would keep hers open. So this one night, it started with my son, this ghost, which we called Smiley, mid-20s, blonde hair. He puts his torso right through my son's door. So he's looking at my son and smiling at him in his bed from the hallway.
With an evil type smile?
It was, you know, there's a little bit of an epilogue. My daughter, because I talked to her today, said he had a sinister smile on his face.
Yeah.
He was mischievous, right?
So okay.
It wasn't, he was happy, but it was a mischievous smile. And then for my daughter, he'd just stand at the door. He wouldn't go into the room. He wouldn't go into my son's room, but he basically stayed outside the two doors in the hallway. So we get up the next morning, and my son recants the story about this ghost who put his torso through her door, and was smiling at him. And then my daughter says, well, I saw the same guy. And so the two of them collaborated the story. He seemed exactly the same ghost. And if he didn't put his head through the door, they would have thought it was a real person. It was that real.
Were they scared? Were they scared from him at all, Alan?
I think they were scared, George. But I think they were just sort of shocked. But this went on. This went on for some period of time. It was just before they were going off to university. So it happened so much. The house was built in the 60s. And I went to my next door neighbor, Ann, and she'd lived in the house since it was built. So she knew the history of our house. And I asked her, I said, was there anybody that lived in our house? Did somebody die there? Because, you know, I recanted the story of what happened. So that continued for a long, long time. And we sold the house in 2003, but this went on for a couple of years, actually. It wasn't a one and done. And then my wife, she thought she saw somebody going up the stairs just out of the corner of her eye. She thought I was going upstairs to the bedroom upstairs. So she saw it as well. So relative to the family, I got the orb, and my son and my daughter saw this ghost for probably a couple of years, and my wife witnessed it as well. So it was a great experience. We recanted the story to lots of people. My kids have shared that story with us.
That's great. But you never felt threatened, did you?
No, they didn't. They didn't feel threatened at all. They didn't feel so. I think it was that orb that came in the house. And when they went off to university, it's the whole process stopped.
Well, that's the best way to do it. And folks, talking about stopping, this ends this year's Ghost to Ghost program. We'll do it again next year for you. And don't forget, we've got Lee Sigar, Connie Willis over the weekend. Halloween is on Sunday. Strange night, isn't it? And I'll be back on Monday. And then we'll start telling you November 1st I'll be back. Can you believe that? Anyway, thanks for listening to Ghost to Ghost. For Dana Galante, Tom Danheiser, Jeremiah Harris, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean Latasseur, Tim Banal, Stephanie Smith, Chris Burrows, Ryan Stacey, Ian Punnett, and George Knapp, I'm George Norrie somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. We'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.